الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. صدق الله المولانا. Unfortunately, we're living in such a time that we just hear about problems all the time. If you're getting a phone call also, you expect that you're going to hear, unfortunately, news that is not so good. If you're returning home, you enter home from work, from wherever, after namaz, you also think they're going to tell you something, this happened, that happened. Or you come with a sad story, unfortunately, this has become like a general trend everywhere. And that is, individually also, persons have problems. Then family problems also, community problems. And then the ummah also, we are going through so many difficulties, problems, etc. And now, what we have to see, first we have to diagnose the correct, whatever the problems are, what situation we find ourselves in. The most important thing is to diagnose it correctly. And when it is diagnosed correctly, then to prescribe the correct remedy, medicine. Then inshallah, the solution will come. Otherwise, as Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, when Hazrat wrote Fazail Amal, how many, maybe 80 years ago or whatever, at that time already Hazrat said, that we diagnose the problem wrongly, and then we prescribe naturally the wrong medicine. And when that is the case, then it is like a person who is sick and you prescribe poison for the person. So how can the solution ever be found in that? And Hazrat that laments over it and cries and says, "Al mushtaka illallah." We complain to Allah. That today, what is poison, we taking it as the remedy. And what is the remedy, we take as the poison. So then how are we going to get our shifa? So all the problems that we have, different types of problems, perhaps sometimes it's a health thing, sometimes it's a money issue, sometimes it is infighting, arguments, division, etc. Sometimes it is whatever, all different type of things that we are having all the time, the different problems that we face. So, first of all, we have to try and understand where has the problem come from. Till we don't understand where the problem has come from, then how can we ever get the correct solution? So, whatever, here in this ayat karima, and I might think, my own thinking, many other people think also, doctors think, philosophers think, lawyers think, and all present all their own thinking. But we all, alhamdulillah, we do understand that the word of Allah Ta'ala is the absolute word. It is the final word, and what Allah Ta'ala has diagnosed and what Allah Ta'ala has said is the real thing. So Allah Ta'ala has said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ, that whatever musibat comes to you, whichever type of musibat comes to you,
philosophers think, lawyers think, and all present all their own thinking. But we all, alhamdulillah, we do understand that the word of Allah Ta'ala is the absolute word, the final word of action.
That is what is has brought this musibat. Whatever the famous saying is, jaise karmi, waise dharmi. How you do, so you will get in return again. Na maane to karke dekh. And if you don't believe that this is the natural and the raw law which Allah Ta'ala has made, that according to your actions are the reactions also. Then the poet says, do, and you will see the reaction will come. And then finally he says, Jannat bhi hai, Jannat bhi, the Jannat is also haq, and Jahannam also is haq. And if you don't believe in Jannat and Jahannam, then die and you will see it also. And the Quran Sharif challenges in many places. This is what you are falsifying. This is what you are not believing in. Yeah, it is in front of your eyes now. Yeah, it is, you are falling into that Jahannam now, which you were saying does not exist, etc. So just as that is true, our iman is on that, we know that Jannat is there, Jahannam is there, it's a reality. Just like that, our actions also, whatever we do, the like recompense, the like return is also 100% true. If we do good, then the result and the return is also good. There is only the little bit difference is that when we do wrong, whatever it might be, like for example, if back home, if a person is driving and he was speeding, he's stopped by a cop, and then you just give him a bribe or something, so it seems now immediately your solution, your problem is solved. But it isn't that. Many times we think we just speak a lie, and our whatever the problem was, we overcome it very easy, it looks like that. But the Hadith Sharif clearly says that the truth gives you salvation. So at the moment, in the beginning, you will go through difficulty. But eventually, you are going to be having 100% salvation. And al-kizbu yuhli. And the lying destroys a person. There is destruction in that. Though at that time it seems you speak a lie, you can easily just overcome, and we know, but our children also, or if we are in an environment with children like in the Darul Uloom, in a school, in a madrasa, many times you see the child has done wrong, you ask him, and he just lies, denies it flatly, openly. And now he's got away with it. It looks like that. But the repercussion is definitely there. It will come. And it comes later, and it comes in different forms also. So this is very, very important for us to understand, and this was really the effort of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he made them 100% upright people, honest people, righteous people. That how much it can be against them, like in the Battle of Tabuk, the three Sahaba who did not partake, the Munafiqeen, and they all made their stories, and they were all excused, okay, no problem, you can go. It seemed all for them, they got away with it. But the three Sahaba spoke the truth. And immediately they had to suffer the consequence. Whatever they were had to go through, they went through. But after that, Allah Ta'ala sent down that they have been forgiven. And one Sahabi says that he tied himself to one of the columns in the masjid, stem of a tree in those days, palm tree. He says, till Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam himself will not come and loosen me, I won't go. So what an honor. But he had to go through the ordeal, about 80 days or whatever the period was. He had to go through that. But then finally, the salvation came. So this is a thing that we also have to understand, whatever happens. And this is not only in our dini matters, today even in our dunya's matters. For example, a person is a diabetic. Now he knows he mustn't have sweet things, but the sweet is there in front of him. The temptation is too much for him. He says, I'll have it. Then what happens afterwards will happen. I'll take more medicine, or my insulin, whatever else. But that is not really the right thing. A person must be strong. And whatever he has to make parezi from, that he has to stay away from, it's only right that he stays away from that. And eventually, we will get good health if he takes the treatment. Many treatments are difficult also. Medicines are bitter also. Perhaps expensive also. But you do it properly, when you pass your time, you're going to get. But if you're going to carry on eating sweet all the time, you are diabetic. And you say that I'm enjoying it now. We're just looking at the immediate thing. And this is what generally man has come to. Immediately what we see in which is our benefit, where we can solve our problem, where we can get some benefit, we just look at that immediate thing. And we don't look at the repercussion afterwards, what later will come. And this also, the Quran Sharif in many places discusses this, that you are too much to hibbun al-ajila, watazharun al-akhirah. You love the present. You just want now the enjoyment. Person wants to build a house. Now, our old people, they were such that they said that a bank is out of the question. Even to this extent that you don't take a loan, even a jaiz halal loan. You need a truck for the business, you can get a loan, somebody will give you. But many of the old people, that no loan. When the day you can afford it, you went by it. And then you carry on. But till then, no loan. But today, any small thing, we go to the bank. And they are just too happy to give us loans also. You build a beautiful house or whatever else. Now it looks very nice at the moment, you're enjoying it and all. But that loan, of course, is with interest. You are breaking the laws of the law of Allah Ta'ala. And every law of Allah which we break, then the consequence also comes. And then afterwards when we see the consequences, and this is the sad part, we still don't diagnose it. When the problem comes, we still attribute it to something else. We attribute it to somebody else. For example, one alim explained that two brothers, the inheritance of the father, the one took the land of the other one. So we all will say the one who asserts who took the land of the other person, he is the guilty person, he is the oppressor. But he explained, actually, originally, the other brother who is oppressed, he is the one who has done wrong. He did some guna that today this retaliation has come on. Also, something he had done, that there was a lawyer who was with us. He has passed away. Allah give him Jannat also. He's buried in Jannatul Ma'ala also. He explained, very long ago in India, a lawyer, retired, sitting on the balcony of his flat. And he watching what is happening. There, the one person killed another person, stabbed him to death. Another passerby went and helped him. We pulled out the dagger, the knife or something. Just then the police arrived also. And they saw this person, that his hand was on the dagger, on the knife. So they arrested him. You are the guilty person. As much as you would explain, they wouldn't accept his explanation that he was helping. But now he is accused of murder. Trial took place, court case, everything. He was found guilty also. When he was in his cell, then this judge or the lawyer went and visited him. So he said, I saw everything. I know you are not guilty. But tell me the truth. Anyway in your life, before you murdered somebody. He said, yes, some 20, 30 years ago. He said, today that is the punishment you got. That time you thought you got away with it. But the punishment came there. So sometimes in this world already Allah gives the punishment. Otherwise we all know that the famous dua which we all should try and make also, Allahumma la tukhzina, oh Allah, don't disgrace us, don't humiliate us, fa innaka bina alimun, you know everything of ours, our in and out you know, what we don't know of ourselves, at the moment what I'm thinking, what anyone is thinking, Allah knows it. And according to, the ulama explained the various stages of our thoughts also, but anyway, whatever we do, Allah knows it. Wa innaka alayna qadirun. And you have got full qudrat and power. And Allah's qudrat and Allah's power is such that nobody can escape. And Allah will tell on the day of Qiyamah, go now, try and run away, escape, where you will escape. Who can escape from Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, nobody can escape from Allah. And then, Allah Ta'ala then, that you know our condition, how we are. And you have got full qudrat, فَلَا تُعَذِّبْنَا, don't punish us, O Allah. So the person, and also while we're carrying on, we should remember all these are 100% haqqaiq, absolute truth. But Allah is that most merciful being, that if we make tawbah, istighfar, Allah Ta'ala accepts tawbah. Allah Ta'ala loves the person who makes tawbah. And a person who makes tawbah, Allah Ta'ala gives him the position of the person who did not commit the sin also. And the doors of tawbah will be open till when the sun will rise from the west. At the moment the sun rises in the east. But the major sign of Qiyamah that now definitely Qiyamah is coming, the sun will rise from the west. Then the door of tawbah will be closed. In the hadith the explanation comes. It is in the direction of Syria, Sham. And the width of that door is that a person on a galloping horse won't cover the width of it in 40 years or 70 years. So wide is that door of Tawbah open. So, and that is for the whole of mankind. Whoever makes tawbah, even from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq, hypocrisy, whatever guna, a person's tawbah with the conditions Allah accepts. And for a person individually, until a sakarat overtakes a person. When that time comes, when a person now does not see anything of this world now. People are there, your wife, your children, but you now you see the akhirah, you see the malaika, malakul maut, you see them. That time now, when you start seeing that, now tawbah is not accepted. Tawbah before that is accepted. So anyway, but this is the law and the ruling and the system which Allah Ta'ala has set. And all this, that the punishment comes, etc., and that we are informed of it. Now we know about it, that is also not any zulm on us, but it is a great rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Like a person, he is going to travel somewhere, and if somebody warns him, or you get it on your phone, that there are speed traps in a certain place. Or there are hijackers in a certain place. Now this is not that person is putting the pressure on you, tensing you up, but he is making zulm on you, he is being kind to you, he is telling you. So all this is the system of Allah, and that we are informed, and Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, this is all the mercy and the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this also the correct diagnosis is also the mercy and the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So whatever problems a person has, we will think that, for example, somebody is fighting for what you, he hit you, he swore you, he insulted you, it looks like that person is doing it. But actually, behind the scene, it is the system of Allah that is working. And Allah has used that person to do this to you. It is not really that person, but he is responsible for his actions. But it is Allah Ta'ala who is using. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا, that whenever a person does wrong, Allah doesn't come himself to punish us. Allah doesn't send farishtas also, yeah, there's not, that will happen in akhirat. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala uses people who are more oppressive than us, more wrongdoers. Allah uses them to punish us. So our real, whatever problems we have, it is because of our wrongdoing, which Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابُكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, what you have earned, what you have done. And this is the Quran Sharif's words, that this difficulties and hardships come because of our wrongdoings. Wrongdoings, halat and conditions, even came on Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. But on us also conditions come. When a difficult conditions come, and mashallah, there's one brother who was with us now, he's Azadul, he's from Syria, now he's in Turkey, Syria, and he was explaining, he's got two children which are handicapped, who are retarded. But he was so happy. He says, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me what a great amanah. So when a person takes a thing like that, then it's not a musibah. When it's the attitude a person has. And when a person is like parishan, why this is happening? What is this happening? And he's parishan, that is a musibat. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, about some riwayat up to 19 years, but he was so happy in his condition when he was ill. Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, in the belly of the fish, but as they were, as they had it minan there, and he was just crying to Allah Ta'ala, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. So that is how we, what our attitude is at that time. That will determine whether it is a punishment from Allah or whether Allah Ta'ala wants to raise our stages or whatever. So if we take it as a difficulty and as a problem, then it is because of some wrong of ours. And if we take it as a good thing, Allah Ta'ala, you gave us this ni'mat, you have kept me like this, then that is a ni'mat from Allah which He wants to give you a higher. Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, after about 19 years or whatever it was, Allah gave him his family back again and more. Allah gave him his wealth back again and more. How much Allah Ta'ala had given him. So in 19 years, if we have a problem, we get tired, we say, how long must I make sabar? How long must I make dua now? But just imagine 19 years. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Makkah Sharif, how long he was. And persecution and difficulties and halat. But they carried on. Finally, when he came to Medina Sharif also, it wasn't just a bed of roses. Yeah, the munafiqeen were the enemy. All the kuffar from around the world at that time made an alliance to attack Medina Sharif. But finally, how Islam spread in the world. And how Islam got established. And till today, we see Masjid Nabawi, and how the people are flocking from where and where. So, whenever a difficulty comes, we must not just look at what is the immediate solution. We must look at what is the correct solution. Whether it takes some time to materialize and we get our results, or whether it, Allah does it immediately, that is up to Allah. But we have to see that we diagnose it correctly and use then the correct solution which Allah Ta'ala has given. So normally whenever we have a problem, financial problem, we will go and see our accountant or whoever. Or if it's a medical, you will see the doctor, and that is nothing wrong as such in that. No problem, you will see your lawyer, you will see this, but that is not really the solution. The solution you have to understand, why has this problem come to me? And that is, as this ayat makes it clear, and the ayat of the Quran Sharif and the hadith, some action of ours has brought them upon us. And now we have to turn to, from where the problem came, Allah sent it. And we have to turn to Allah in order to alleviate, in order to remove that problem, we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. But generally, Allah Ta'ala, we are such, we are weak. We don't turn to Allah Ta'ala. If we do turn, then it is also very like casually, not really with that earnestness. Haji Ahmad Dakhuda Sahib, Dhamud Barakatun, explained quite a few incidents of people who had problems. One person with karma or something, and somebody in some, I think it was in Russia or something, subject to correction all the instances, where they refused a lady, husband and wife, her papers, whatever it was, the papers were refused. So, and they said, it's impossible, you can't get it. They went home and she told the husband, let us make dua. So, as he says, as men, normally 10 minutes you make dua, now it's finished, so he went and sleep. But she stayed the whole night and made dua. And she carried on and on. When they went to the office, the queue, they called them from the back and they gave them their papers. So this is really what dua. Dua, in fact, we were just reading now, that problems that come and taqdeer, there are certain things written in our taqdeer and they are going to happen. Our precaution cannot stop it. It's still going to happen. And our efforts also to remove that this must not happen. Whatever it may be, a burglary, crooks coming, or whatever, a sickness, whatever. But dua is a thing that can change. Dua is that weapon Allah has given to a believer that it will change it also. Dua changes taqdeer also. Taqdeer is there written, and we all understand taqdeer is final. But taqdeer is not above Allah. Allah made taqdeer. Taqdeer does not control Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah is, na'uzu billah, helpless. It's written like that. And the qalam wrote it and it's going to happen. And now I can't do anything about it also. No, Allah can change the taqdeer also. And dua is the thing that will change that taqdeer also. So even if in our taqdeer, we make dua also. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah, one place in his dua, he says, oh Allah, if Jahannam is written in my taqdeer, or kufr is written, you change it from it. And you bring it into iman, into Jannah. So taqdeer, even dua changes taqdeer also. So Allah has given us this dua as a weapon, and we have to use this dua. And dua really changes things. So anyway, so problems that come, we have to first understand, they are from Allah Ta'ala. And they have come to us in different forms. the neighbor is causing this problem, he's making a big noise the whole day, night, whatever it is. This person here is not whatever work I'm giving him, my worker, he's not doing the work. It looks like that outwardly, but it is actually from Allah and because of some of our doings. So we have to resort to the Shaykh al-Hadith, Jazahumullah khair, and we take their names, we believe in them, they are great people, what they have written is the right thing, but when it comes to amal, then we don't really apply what they have said. So the Shaykh has written that I have experienced myself, as the Shaykh says, and it is my belief also, and my elders, the pious Buzurs of the Shaykh, they have experienced also their belief. Whenever any difficulty comes, people, what they used to do, resort to two things. One was reading Durood Sharif in abundance, and the other was Tawbah and Istighfar. Now, according to our eyes, we don't see the relationship. That here is a problem, somebody is sick, or whatever, there are crooks, there are police are here, this problem is here, that problem is there. How can this Durood Sharif solve the problem? But it is that Durood Sharif, and Alhamdulillah, our Iman is there, and we know when we read Durood, Allah's Rahmat comes down. And problems are going to be solved, not by us, but when Allah's Rahmat comes down. That will solve the problems. Tawbah is the far when a person makes, then Allah's Rahmat comes down. And Allah turns to a broken heart, a person who broke the laws of Allah. And now he realized how bad a person I was, what terrible things I've done. His heart is broken and he's crying to Allah. Allah's help comes down. And that then changes condition. So we have to first of all diagnose it that it is not really, outwardly it is, whoever is giving the problem, they are causing it. But in essence we have to understand it is from Allah Ta'ala. And Allah, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah doesn't, Manapanan Puri Rahmatullah Ali explains it, that Allah doesn't just work in any wild and haphazard way, give this person heart attack, that person motor car accident, that person his son dies, this happens, that happens. No, there are causes for it. And Allah says that Allah doesn't just now, Allah is sitting and just giving this one problem, that one problem, but it, if in shakartum wa amantum, if we are obedient to Allah Ta'ala, we won't face this problem. Our lives will go smooth and will go easily. So first thing we have to diagnose and understand that it is our wrongdoing. And this also today is world and life and what we are bombarded with from all sides. That a person, one person has told somebody, you must make tawbah istighfar. That person got very cross and upset. What you mean, I'm a sinner? And who is not a sinner? When it comes in the hadith, kullukum khatta'un, all of you are wrongdoers. Then now a person doesn't even want to accept that I'm a wrongdoer. So how is a person going to make tawbah istighfar? So if we do this, that it is our wrongdoing. That's why these conditions have come onto us. To solve the problem now when it is here, one is tawbah istighfar and amount of durood sharif that we read. Durood Sharif works miracles. And sadaqah, giving charity. This is also a thing that works. Charity is also such a thing from problems that have come and are here already. Charity takes them away. And problems which are still coming down, charity removes them also. And in fact, with dua, it has come, we just read today also, that when some difficulty is coming to us, Allah has sent some hardship for a person, whatever it might be. And he is making du'as. Then this du'a goes and fights with that problem. Until Qiyamah they fight. That problem can't come to you. They are just fighting between them. The du'a and the problem. So you are saved from it. So du'a is a very, very great ibadah. And of course there are certain times also when du'as are very readily accepted. If we get up to Hajj time, what to say. Otherwise between Azan and Takbir, Iqamah, dua is not rejected during that time. After Faraz namazes, dua is not rejected. Just before Maghrib namaz, generally between Asr and Maghrib, just before Maghrib, and especially on a Friday, These are the times that we have to turn to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala and beg Him for His mercy. So the first thing is that we have to understand that whatever problems I've got, they are because of my own doing. Secondly, after that, in order to solve it, I have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. And the means Allah has given us, dua is a great means. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْصَبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Allah says, seek the help of Allah. You need that when you realize now you need the help of Allah. Then seek it by making sabr and making your namaz. And one translation of namaz is dua also. So by dua, namaz, salatul hajah, you take the madad and the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And so in that way we will solve our problems. And really if we can try it. Last supper, I think the last supper, Maulana Ayyub Sahib explained about reading 100,000 times istighfar and how problems get solved. And he's also got class like that. And we mentioned it, and mashallah, few people came. They say the day we finished our 100,000, problem got solved. So these are things that really work. But we, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Man is too much in a hurry. We just make istighfar 1 minute, now it must be done. No, this is a process that's very, and you have to be at it all the time. And Allah loves that banda who comes towards Allah, begs of Him, cries of Him. Allah wants that. And when you do that, then who Allah really loves and gives that enjoyment, Allah doesn't give him his thing what he wants immediately. Allah wants him more and more to cry to Allah Ta'ala. But he also enjoys that. Oh, like Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, for so long he was ill, but he enjoyed. He was crying to Allah Ta'ala. So we have to realize that our problems are not anyone else. What we commonly usually say, that no country is our enemy, no nation is our enemy. We like to blame this nation, we like to blame that country, but Allah, but it uses them against us. That is all. Allah is using them against us because of our wrongdoing. If we come right, then they will become our slaves. They will. Allah will make them to serve us, not to hurt us and punish us, but to serve us. So if we realize that part, then the next part is that we now turn to Allah. And to turning to Allah, there are various things. One is the root sharif. Allah's rahmat comes in torrents down where the name where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is remembered, durood sharif is recited. The other is tawbah, istighfar. Allah loves that. Sadaqah, how much charity we give, Allah loves that. Salatul hajah we make, Allah loves that also. And whatever other acts of kindness and goodness we can do on any creation of Allah Ta'ala. So much so that animals also, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that everything that has got a heart, that has got life, and you show kindness to it, is a neki. Even a dog, we know the lady who was an evil lady, but she gave water to the dog to drink, Allah forgave her. So even an animal, that one muhaddith, when he was writing, and the fly was wanted to drink the ink of his pen, and he just waited till the fly finishes. On that Allah forgave him. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes down. So all these things we have to look for such things. That where we can find such things which pull the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. When we will do that, Allah Ta'ala will solve our problems. And again, this is not that now and just this problem is solved immediately. Go through the process, procedure, and then afterwards the thing is solved and it is solved for good. Otherwise, we can perhaps even live till what a wonderful life in this world. But if we are breaking the laws of Allah Ta'ala, Maulana Hazrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh one time gave a bayan to the ulama and he explained that when Allah's ni'mats come and in the obedience of Allah, that is ni'mat. And if what we call ni'mats, but in the disobedience of Allah, it is coming. You are having your health is very good. money is flowing all the time, things are going smooth, but no namaz in your life. Many people ask this question also, that certain people we see there's no deen in their life, they're far from deen, but they're living a nice, smooth life, no problems in their life. We are trying to make namaz, whatever little we can do, but we are suffering with problems. So, the outward, what we call damage, in inverted commas, but it's coming in the disobedience of Allah, it is not a ni'mat, it is a ni'mat. And Maulana Pananpuri gives a beautiful example of this, that for example, the mice, rats, they are troubling in the house, eating out potatoes, tomatoes, everything. More they are eating things, so the housewife goes and buys fresh cheese. Or she makes roti and puts enough ghee on the roti. Puts it in a trap and puts it right by the hole where the mice come out from. So when they come out, they say that what we don't have to look for our rosy. And what wonderful rosy we got, and right at our doorstep. But when it goes and take it, then the trap comes down and it is killed. So all this also, then when Allah Ta'ala sends this punishment, and when we are in the disobedience of Allah, things go smooth for a while, but then when it comes, Allah Ta'ala takes a person to task, and very, very severely. So basically, what all I'm trying to say in a nutshell, is that we have to correct our actions. And then Allah's rahmat will come down. And when we have problems have come, and we must understand, it is because of our wrongdoing. Don't just look that I've got sunnah dress and that on me. There are many people that perhaps outwardly they don't appear to be dindar also. But inside, what connection they have got, we don't know. And perhaps we inside, like one common guna that we suffer from is backbiting. Very, very common. And usually I say that my little knowledge and little that I have studied, that whichever of our great, great ulama have written about backbiting, almost all of them have written this is a guna that even in the learned and even in the pious it is common. So, and we don't take it as a guna. And that is a worse thing. When a guna, we don't take it as a guna, backbiting. And then I think that I've got the amama, I've got my topi, sunnah dress, I've got everything. But we are involved in backbiting, we are involved in some other guna, whatever. So just today we were discussing, packing the bags, getting the bus ready. One common question, Farooq was saying, at home we don't even pack the bags. It's packed for us, we don't have to do a thing. But at the airport they ask, you packed it yourself? Wow. Everyone say, yeah, I packed it myself. But I didn't pack it myself. That's a lie. But we don't even take it as a lie. And a lie is a guna, a kabira, a major guna. Now you face a problem, you wonder where this problem came from. But you had spoken a lie then. And many other things also, we lie easily. In the house, in fact, father with the children, mother with the children, tell them that you must tell daddy this, you must tell daddy that, you must tell mommy this, yeah. We teach them, in fact, to lie also. So our gunas, there are many such gunas that we don't even think of them as gunas. We think it's all right, it doesn't matter. But it isn't like that. So we have to get, when the problem is there, the help of Allah, and that is these things we use. Now how will it come into us? That is, alhamdulillah, Allah has been very kind also. He gave us the work of tabligh and da'wah. We go in jamaat and we get reminded and we keep on talking about it. It will come. Then, mashallah, we have like the khanqah. We go there, and if we go also with the niyat of our Islam, not just to go and see what's happening or whatever, then our Islam will take place. And in all these matters also, one very important thing also, Quran Sharif says, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind. A reminder is beneficial for the believer. On various occasions, various aspects of this explained about it. One is that a reminder is beneficial. Then Hazrat says, many times it comes on our tongue, you tell the people, but who listens? Nobody listens. So we say, no faida. It doesn't benefit. Quran says it benefits. And we say it doesn't benefit. Today you give lectures, you print kitabs, you do everything, but nobody listens. That's what we say. But Quran says a reminder is beneficial. So we have spoken against the Quran. Hazrat says for the person has to read kalima again. That Allah Ta'ala is saying one thing and we saying the complete opposite. And Hazrat said that also explains that your own ears are the closest to your tongue. Now I'm also speaking, the first person to hear is me myself. As I'm speaking, my ears are the closest. So I'm hearing myself. So you will benefit. The more you speak, and also even if you're not practicing, but the command is you must still speak. You practice is going to have much more better effect. But if you're not practicing and you don't speak, you are making two gunas. So even if we're not practicing, but still speak what is the right thing, tell what is the right thing, that we have to say. Another explanation Hazrat gave, that if a person says that this reminders, I know about it. In fact, our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miyasab Rahmatullah Ali, those days very, very long ago, he said, whenever somebody tells you something and you know it, never even show it on your false face that I know it. For example, Ulama have written, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam story comes in the Quran 29 times out of the 30 suparas. So if a person reads it one place again, that he says, I know the story. But everywhere Allah draws out something different from there. There is a different lesson. So no matter how many times you hear, there is something new you're going to benefit. And every time Allah will put a benefit. Otherwise, the same 30 suparas we are reading since we are small. And the ummah is reading from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we will say we want some new, say we want some kitab. Like some people say also, now we're tired of Fazail-e Amal. We have heard it over and over. You can never become tired. A sign of a mu'min is that whenever a reminder comes, he benefits. And if we're not benefiting, then also our iman, we have to check it. If somebody is giving a talk of deen, and though we know it, we heard it 100 times also, and we're not benefiting, then because Allah says that reminder is beneficial for the believers. And I say, I'm not getting any benefit. The same Quran Sharif, if I read it today, I'm today 70 years old, I've read it for my past 60, 65 years, and say, I say, I don't benefit from Quran, there's something wrong with my iman. There's something wrong. The same Quran which I'm reading over and over, I make it khatam every month, I make it khatam every week, but I'm still carrying on, and nobody can deny you still benefiting. And in every way you're benefiting. Sawab-wise, spiritually, academically, knowledge-wise, you will benefit also continuously. So we have to resort to whether we go in Jamaat also, and we can combine all the efforts, Alhamdulillah, Nurun ala Nur. And if we cannot, then whichever effort we feel, but to bring this into our lives, to be reminded, to be reminded all the time. And this is also such a thing that a person reminds. You don't know when it clicked or when it clicked or when it clicked or when it clicks. You speak of one thing no matter how long, but suddenly one day that it just clicks and now the amal starts off. Or you were speaking or you were listening. How many times you heard? Hearing is not sufficient. Amal is necessary. But when you get the tawfiq of making amal, that is now when Allah has made it muqaddar. And that is also in the hands of Allah. So we have to carry on and on. And when Allah wants to, and also a great consolation in this is, like a person wants to become Hafiz of Quran, and he couldn't make it, but he's trying all the time. One ayat, he takes 1 month to learn. But he's carrying on. He will be raised amongst the Hufaz on the day of Qiyamah. Though perhaps he hardly learned one supara, half a supara, but he was trying all the time. He was at it. He will be raised as a Hafiz of Quran. A person who goes for Hajj and he passes away in a haram while going for Hajj, he will be raised with this, what the Hajj is on the day of there. So our Islah also, our Islah is not getting done. Our problems are not getting solved, but we are at it. Allah Ta'ala will raise us amongst those people whose Islah is made. So Allah give us tawfiq that we work in this direction, inshallah. And yeah, as we mashallah, manana, Allah reward manana, and we all must make lot of qadr and appreciate manana. If not everyone has the speaker there's this concern, and then we have got knowledge also, what knowledge also, and that fikr and concern also. Let us join with Maulana and extend the fikr also. Yeah, in the whole country, we know there are, even just South Africa, how many? We know not only South Africans need hidayah, the whole world needs hidayah. How many people, country people of what countries are here? But at least we are related with South Africa, the people of South Africa who are here. It's not easy to work also when a person goes out of his country. Usually it is for money matters or whatever other things. It's difficult then to relate to deen also. And to make such a person game up with deen is not an easy thing. So we should support also what the jamaat that are made, wherever we can go. And this also jamaat grows. Babu Bashir Rahmatullahi was the Amir of Pakistan at one time, refers to Amir. One time he said the amount of effort we made on Turkey, we made more effort on Turkey than what we did on the rest of the world. But no opening in Turkey. At that time, just absolutely, because of the mind, Ataturk and all that thing, ideas they had. But today, alhamdulillah, great changes come. So we just have to be at it all, make kush continuously, visit the brother continuously. The day will come when it will just change. And it has happened, and there are many cases in front of us. So we just have to be at it. And we do it for our benefit. And others also benefit by it. May Allah give us all tawfiq and accept us, inshallah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Dua for الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لك الحمد يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين Oh Allah, save us of all the problems that are besetting us, Oh Allah. Whether they are individually, family-wise, community-wise, country-wise, whether they are in the whole ummah, remove all the problems that we have got. Oh Allah, forgive us for all our wrongs that we have done and that we are doing. And oh Allah, our biggest wrong that we are so faulty and sinful and yet regard ourselves as so pious and righteous. Oh Allah, we are so sinful, but we can see the sins of others, but we can't see our own sins. We are so blind, O Allah, that our eyes are wide open to see the wrongs of other people, of other nations and communities, of other families, but we can't see our own wrongs. O Allah, you open our blind eyes, O Allah. Let us see our own faults, O Allah. As mentioned, O Allah, that fortunate is that person who starts seeing his own faults, and he becomes blind to the faults of other people. Oh Allah, let us remedy ourselves. Let us make our own islah, oh Allah. Let us correct our own conditions, oh Allah. Oh Allah, send your mercies upon us to understand the matters correctly, to diagnose our problems correctly, and then to prescribe the correct remedy also. And let us take the remedies, oh Allah. Oh Allah, solve our problems. You are the only one who can solve our problems, oh Allah. You are the only one in whose hands lies everything. Nobody else has got control of anything, O Allah. Everything is in your hands, O Allah. You turn the hearts of the people as you wish to, O Allah. You change conditions as you want to, O Allah. O Allah, guide us and help us to all righteousness and forgive us for all our shortcomings, O Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antas tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله. Just come to mind. one person had written an email, and he said that we see that in Spain especially, and Baghdad also, that and he sent some clips. I didn't open them and read the see check what it was, but he says you see them having an enjoyable time playing what you call it, chess also, and music also, and all the women also partaking in music and all that, and this was the golden era of Islam. So he says, haven't we now, we're making too much all halal, haram, halal, haram, and we don't see all these things that, what's wrong with this? It was the golden era. So I couldn't reply, nothing was coming to my mind. And he said, he wrote to some other organizations, top organizations, no reply. Then Allah put it in my mind, and I wrote back to him, those things which you are seeing were like enjoyment. And he said that in Spain, the cuisine and that got exported to Europe. They learned from them. Music, they learned from the people in Spain, in the golden days of Spain, when Muslims were ruling. I said that was the downfall. That was not the enjoyment. That was the cause. And on that little bit, in Baghdad, the army of the Muslims, the Khilaf at that time, how strong they were. Nobody could batch them. And the Tataris, they were weak people, very who could do absolutely nothing. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah lists this bayan. Then one person came to sell his wares, a salesman. So yeah, the king, he may usually you bargain, but then he told him that you must lower your price, lower, until he made zulam on the person. And then that person didn't agree, he killed that person. They send an envoy that how can you kill our man? So they killed that envoy, so which is totally against all protocol. Then the one man, Parisov says, he stood on, of the Tataris, he stood on top of the mountain on one leg for 3 days. That is now the sacrifice. So we won't be able to stand half a minute on one leg. For 3 days he stood and he prayed and he made dua, oh the Allah of the Muslims, we know you are a just ruler, you are just Allah. If this is wrong what they have done, give us our dues. After 3 days, it came in his heart, go, attack. My help is with you people now, not with the Muslims. And then they went and attacked, and the Muslim soldier, a Tatari woman would come, and she said, I'm going to kill you, but I haven't got my sword, you just stand here. And then he didn't have the courage, he no spine in him to move from there also, even to run away. And she would go and bring her sword and kill him. So this is the condition. And Spain, nothing less also. When Muslims had reached what height, to all the details in our minds, it is there. Where Muslims reach? In medicine, in science, in printing, first printing prayer, whatever you can think of. But when all these things came, what happened to the condition? And the masjid which on Kurtuba. Till today, how many cathedrals are made in the one masjid? What a big masjid. This is how Allah. And you can't, at one time you couldn't wear topi and enter there. They wouldn't allow. Now you're not allowed to make a sajda there. Where a place where what great ulama were there. Today you can't make one sajda there. All our wrong dreams, all our evil dreams. So Allah, let us understand and correct ourselves.